الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama-i kiram, elders and brothers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created this world as a place for fulfilling responsibilities. That is why one of the names of this dunya is Darul Huquq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent us here for us to fulfill responsibilities. Unfortunately, we are passing through a period of time where people try to shy away from their responsibilities. No one wants to accept responsibility. Every person wants to put the responsibility on another person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to this dunya and He has made certain things obligatory on us. He had placed certain responsibilities on us. Some responsibilities are what we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our ibadat, salah, zakat, hajj, etc., roza. And then there are responsibilities which we need to fulfill towards people. Our parents have got rights over us. Our wives and families have got rights over us. Our neighbors have got rights over us. But one very important responsibility is the responsibility that we owe to our own children. Remember, children are a very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Himself in the Quran says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. Allah gifts to whomsoever He wishes male children and to whomsoever He wishes females. And who Allah wishes, He gives them both males and females. But Allah used the word gift. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who Allah had not blessed them with this ni'mat, all the money in the world could not buy it for them. So this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this is also a very great amanat. This is a trust. Allah is placing this child in your responsibility. He's placing this child in your care. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to ask you. The hadith which I mentioned, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said it so beautifully. Kullukum ra'in. Every one of you is a shepherd. The word ra' literally translates as a shepherd, meaning every one of you is responsible. Wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati. And every one of you will be answerable for his flock. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to ask you about your subordinates. What did you do to retain and protect the iman of this child? What did you do to inculcate good values and good morals in the life of this child? In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child is born with the potential of accepting the truth. Every child is born with goodness. Naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept goodness in that child. That child has got the potential to take the sirat al-mustaqim and the straight path. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَسِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. It is then the parents that sometimes will make him a Jew. Sometimes they will make him a Christian. Sometimes they will make him a fire worshipper. No child is born as a drug addict. No child is born with a cigarette in his mouth. No child is born as a rapist. No child is born as a murderer. No child is born as a fraudster. How does it happen? How does he end up in that line? Ultimately, it is either negligence of the parents, or sometimes maybe they tried their best, but the child then went into a wrong environment. Sometimes it is the television. A person thinks to himself, now I have got this child, I never did anything wrong, I never sent him into the wrong environment, but I have got the television that is babysitting that child day in and day out, hours of his day, hours of his night, and all that filth, all that dirt, all that nonsense now is coming into the life of the child. Things that you would never imagine, things that you never did, but now he's exposed to the filth. So that is why it is the responsibility now, it is the responsibility of the parents to take care of this child, to protect this child, preserve the iman of this child. Remember, the child is your greatest asset. Your child is your greatest investment. People will boast about their investments. I've got this investment, I've got that investment. That investment is only the investment for this dunya. When you leave this world, when all your amal have been terminated, all the good deeds that that child will do, all the dua that he will make for you, that is going to be reaching you. That is what you're going to be desiring for. This is what you're going to want in the khabar. You need those good deeds. Who's going to do it? That child. You instilled iman in his heart. He instilled iman in the heart of his children. And this now continues. And every bit of reward is reaching you. You are getting the reward. You are getting your sawab. This is your greatest investment. How much of time are you spending now to try and protect this investment, to secure this investment, to get the best rewards and the best returns from this investment? Every child, Allah has kept something special in him. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Annasu ma'adin." Sometimes you just look at the child, you think to yourself, hey, this is just ordinary child. No. Allah has kept something special. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, people are mines. Like how you get gold and silver mines. People have got some great value within them. But the mine, you're not going to find the gold on the surface. You're going to dig into the mine. You're going to work onto the mine. Then you're going to get the gold. Then you're going to get the silver. Then you're going to get the diamonds. So this child also, you're going to have to work on him. You're going to have to spend time with him. You're going to have to give him love and care. Remember, every child craves for love. Like how we have got a natural need for food, for water. You will never deprive your child. Every child is craving for the love of his parents. And when we will give that love to that child, we will nurture that child, we will advise that child. Inshallah, we hope now that that child will one day become something. Now you're going to bring about that hidden potential. You're going to bring forth that hidden potential. That child is going to become a gem. One day he's going to become an asset to society. That is when you're going to thank yourself. That is when you're going to make shukr. But if you neglect the child, you do not pay any attention to him, you do not show him that level of love and that level of muhabbat and compassion and kindness, and you do not exploit the goodness in him, then you're going to lose that goodness. He's going to lose that potential. He's going to get lost in society. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what will be the outcome of that child. So that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, don't take it for granted. Sometimes a person utilizes his time in futile activities. He's got a full-time job with his device doing nothing. A person is always constantly communicating, speaking to people, meeting people. Let it not be. While you try to collect and gather stones, you lose your diamond in front of you. You've got that diamond in front of you, but you don't have time for that. No, you don't have time to nurture it. Let it not be that you lose that. So this is definitely a very great responsibility. First of all, we have to understand it to be a responsibility. A person can only fulfill a responsibility if he understands it to be a responsibility. If I thought to myself, that responsibility is my wife's responsibility. She needs to take care of my child. She needs to nurture him. Yes, that's definitely, the wife also plays a very important part. They say the lap of the mother is the first madrasa of the child. But the father also, he has to play his part in this whole situation. He has to also take some responsibility. If you're going to assume that it's the responsibility of the madrasa, no. It's not going to be. The madrasa feels to themselves, we only have to give the child education. We don't have to nurture him. We don't have to do his upbringing. We don't have to really inculcate values in him. So if everyone is going to throw the responsibility on other people, who is going to fulfill this responsibility? So first and foremost, we have to understand that this is our responsibility. And then you need to take up time for moral training. Moral training is a very important thing. Sometimes, you know, you need some tact. You need to use some diplomacy. You need to use some wisdom. Now I need to instill a value in this child. How am I going to instill a value in this child? In those days and times, the kings and the monarchs, you know, they were not foolish people. Not like now, the rulers are the most foolish people. The kings and monarchs of those times were intelligent people. They would actually hire the services. They would call it an ataliq. Ataliq was a professional person who will discipline the child, who will train the child. So they pay this ataliq and they send this child now to go in the company of this ataliq. So there was one king, he had taken the services of a certain ataliq, and then he notices that other children, he's not being so hard on them, but his child, who is the prince now, the king's son, every time this ataliq is sitting on a horse, he's sitting on a conveyance, he's making that child follow him. Come now, I'm jumping on a conveyance, you walk behind me. I'm going to this place, you walk behind me. So he made him like an attendant, like a servant, always walking behind him. So the king was a bit concerned. So he said, let me find out, why do you treat my child like this? Why is it you being so hard on my child? In this day and time, if we get a complaint from the madrasa, person will fly in a rage, not thinking, why was the ustad hard? Maybe he had some reason. It was for the betterment of this child. He wanted to uplift this child. He wanted to make this child something one day. So here the king goes to approach the ataliq and tell him, but why are you being so hard on my child? The other children, yeah, I see you not being so hard on them. He says, see, your child is the prince. Tomorrow you will die, he will become the king. He will always be on the conveyance and people will be around him. He needs to know what is the feeling of being around the conveyance and walking with the conveyance. He will never understand that feeling if he never sees it now. That is why I am training this child. I am grooming this child. I want a very important concept to set in this child. Hazrat Maulana Badr-e Alam Sahab Rahmatullah Ali was a very great saint of recent times. After Maulana passed away in Medina Munawwara, they dug up his grave to rebury someone and they found that alhamdulillah the body was still fresh in the grave. Hazrat Maulana Badr-e Alam Sahab Rahmatullah Ali would give some advices of how to instill the importance of Jummah in the heart of your child. You see, the importance of Jummah is dying. It's dying even in adults too. People have no concern now. Whether they come, they don't come, someone is coming late, someone is not worried. No, Jummah is a very big day. Jummah is a Mubarak day. You should have that concern. When the first azan goes, everything you need to leave and you need to proceed to the masjid. But this is something now, how it's going to come into the lives of the younger generation. Because often you will go into the masjid and you will see young children in the back of the masjid that they brought their device or they brought their phone while the bayan is on, while the khutbah is on, that child is playing games in the back of the masjid. So we need to instill the importance of Jummah. So Hazrat Maulana Badr-e Alam Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he would give some advices. One thing he mentioned was, he says on the day of Jummah, give the child more spending. Every day you give him a certain amount of spending. But Jummah day now you give him maybe double that amount. And tell him, you know what son, I'm giving you this because today is Yomul Jummah. Today is the day of Jummah. He's already understanding. Jummah is no ordinary day. Jummah is a very great day. Then the second thing he says, On the day of Jummah, you will put on better clothing for that child. So that day now, you've got some special clothing now, some new clothing. Now today is Yawmul Jummah, that is why I'm putting this clothing on you. So the child now again, psychologically, you're preparing his mind to understand the value and the virtue of this day. Third thing he says, is in the house now, on the day of Jummah, you're going to prepare a better meal. Every other day now, you may just have a normal meal. But on the day of Jummah now, you'll have a better meal. There'll be some sweet dish. There may be some dessert. You have now some extras now. And the child is being told again, see, today is Yawmul Jummah. Because it is Jummah today. That is why we have prepared this meal. So now the child is beginning to understand the virtue and the value of the day of Jummah. So sometimes now, you need to adopt these types of strategies. There was one Shaykhul Hadith in India. One day he tells his son, son, we're going to the zoo today. So the son is thinking, I don't know what happened to my father, because some of these people are always so engrossed in their kitabs and in studying and in teaching. But today, completely off the norm, against his normal character, he calls his child and he tells him, we're going to the zoo. He takes the child to the zoo and he's showing him all the different animals. Eventually he comes to the khinzir, the swine. He shows his child the khinzir. He says, son, can you see this animal? He says, yes. He says, this is a khinzir. This is a despicable animal. This is a napak animal. You won't even go near this animal. You won't even touch it. But can you see there is food before that khinzir? Can you see Allah never allowed that swine also to go hungry? Allah also provided sustenance for the swine also. The child said yes. So he asked the child, do you think Allah will ever forget you? Do you think Allah will ever let you go hungry? How unfortunate it is today, in this day and time, there is this notion that is created, that if you don't have education, you're going to starve. If you don't educate yourself, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with educating yourself, provided it is within the limits of Sharia. But for you to have this in your mind, to think to yourself, and to constantly remind the child, from the time he's in preschool, he hears the same story, till you don't have education, you're never going to have anything in life. You will never prosper. And how many educated people are walking and turning, got nothing to do? How many educated people have got no sustenance? They are going through difficulties. And how many people who are completely illiterate, who cannot even sign their own names, they are millionaires and billionaires. This risk and rosy has got nothing to do with your education. It has got nothing to do with your intellect. This is the divine system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the poet put it so beautifully, he said, had it been that risk was distributed according to intellect and understanding, then all the animals would have died out of starvation. All the animals, because they don't have that intellect. They do not have that understanding. So this Buzurg now was trying to get across this very important message to his child, to tell him, rozi lies only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While you would adopt the means. I'm not saying you must not adopt the means. I'm not saying you don't do anything. While you would adopt the means, but you would understand and have full conviction that risk only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi was a very great saint of his time. When this child was born, it was the fikr and concern of the parents how this child is going to become a Allah wala. And you know, those days and times, that was the concern. When our child is born, we worried, what degree is he going to get? What profession is he going to get? How much money is he going to make? How this child is going to benefit us? But when those children were born, the fikr and concern in the heart was, how can this child have a strong bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if that child got Allah, he's got everything. And if he doesn't have Allah, he has got nothing. He can have everything else, but if he doesn't have Allah, he has got nothing. So the mother made dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a certain strategy in her mind. So as the child came a bit of understanding, when the child will come back from madrasa, so he will come back like normal, come back to the mother, mother, I'm hungry, what's there to eat? So the mother will tell the child, son, see, only Allah gives rozi. I cannot give you nothing, and your father cannot give you nothing. Allah gives you rozi. There's a musalla there, go sit on the musalla, make dua, ask Allah, Allah will bless you. So the child goes, makes dua a little while, comes back, alright, I made dua, now what? He says, okay, look around. Allah would have sent the food somewhere. And yes, the mother will leave the food somewhere. She'll hide the food somewhere. The child will go. He will take the food. The child will eat the food. Like this now, this child is becoming very curious. He's constantly asking about Allah. You know how great Allah is. How merciful Allah is. And one day, after some time, it so happened that the mother had to go somewhere. She had to go for some function or something. And she forgot that the child is coming from madrasa. And on her way back, now she's scratching her head and she's thinking, what must have happened now? But these people were pious people also. They were also Allah walas. They also had that link with Allah. So that is why they could inculcate it in the lives of their children. So she's making dua to Allah. Allah, don't let my efforts go to waste. I made so much effort on this child. I want him to have that full conviction in you. I want him to have that strong level of iman. I want this child to be able to draw from your treasures. This is what we need to inculcate in children. They need to be able to talk to Allah. They need to be able to communicate with Allah. They need to draw from the treasures of Allah. Because we're going to leave this dunya. We're going to pass on. We're leaving them back in this dunya. If we leave them with these values, inshallah, definitely, that will be very beneficial for them. So she comes home and the child is sleeping and the mother comes to the child out of compassion. Son, how are you? How was your day in madrasa? And did you have anything to eat? Should I get you something to eat? So the child tells his mother, mother, you see, what you taught me every day, alhamdulillah, today when I came back, although you were not here, I followed the same procedure, I went onto the musalla, I made dua to Allah, and after that I went to look as you would tell me, and then I found a plate of roti. But mother, that roti that I ate today, I never ate anything as tasty as that my entire life. So this was at that young age. This child had already got that strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This lesson that this mother taught to her child, if we have to learn this lesson, and if we have to inculcate this lesson in our lives, definitely we will be successful. We will draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected friends, for us now to inculcate these values, it is very, very important for us to take out time. Don't ever be negligent. Negligence is a very dangerous thing. A person negligent on the road, for few seconds, he can lose his life. How often don't you find now, in this holiday period, because people are in the mode of entertainment, of enjoyment, of fun, negligence, how many young children drown in this time? Now they took the child to the pool, the mother is on one side, she's doing her own thing, the father is doing his own thing, and here the poor child, no one is watching him, no supervision. Remember, when there's no supervision, it can be very detrimental, it can be very dangerous. We need to have constant supervision over our children. We need to know exactly where they are, what they are doing. Don't just give them free reins that they can go anywhere and do what they want to do, because eventually, when the problem then comes about, it may be too late. It may be too late for us to solve that problem. We have to constantly supervise them. Keep them before us. In Gujarati, there is a saying, I don't know the words in Gujarati, but the translation is that you can give your money to people to keep, but don't give your children to people to keep. Nowadays we have reversed the whole thing. We have reversed the tables. Our money we'll give to no one, but our children we can give to everyone. Anyone, everyone, the child can go anywhere, whether it's the right company, wrong company, whichever environment it is. So this is something that can be very detrimental and very dangerous. There was an incident that happened a few years ago, around this part of the year. Remember, because this part of the year is the time when everyone goes into that entertainment mode. People are not concerned. People are not worried about their values. No one is worried about haya and shame. No one is worried about the iman. So this young girl, she goes out with a group of friends, so to say, having clean fun. She goes out at night. She comes back home. It is quite late now, nearing midnight or after midnight. When the father looks at the girl, he sees that she's looking very disillusioned and disorientated. Something is wrong with this girl. Sometimes she's staring in one side. Sometimes she's staring on the other side. What is the first thing that will go to someone's mind? The girl must be got possessed. The jinnat must have caught her now, because now late at night she went out. So he phones a scholar and someone who has got some knowledge on this field. And he tells him, this is my problem. Can you please help me? What should I do? So the person calls the girl on the phone and he reads something. And then he analyzes and assesses. that there is no jinn here. So he calls the father and he tells the father, brother, there's no jinn on your daughter. It seems like she's taken something. First the man becomes angry. He becomes upset. How can you now accuse my daughter? My daughter will never do something like this. He says, okay, let it be. Let's see in the morning what happens. Wake up in the morning, still she's looking disorientated. Then he takes the girl for a test and takes her to a doctor and they do a drug test and they find that this girl had taken something. So the father asks his daughter, but how could you have done something like this? She says, father, I was with a group of friends. All of them were doing it. It was peer pressure. I could not refuse. I thought I will just take one pull and nothing will happen. But unfortunately, this was how it happened. And this is how people eventually then become addicts. So it is our responsibility. First of all, let us understand this is a very great ni'mat of Allah. It is a very great responsibility. Let us take out time for moral training, to instill values in the life of the child. If our child has got some problem, let us make mashwara with seniors, with pious people, with experienced people. Now that we've got the problem, what can we do now to remove the problem, to assist in this problem? And remember, most importantly, make a lot of dua. Lot of dua. Only dua can help us in this time. This is a time of fitna. It's a time when there's a whole tidal wave of sin and vice coming. And good people and children from good families also are also getting wiped away. We need to make a lot of dua. Every day, 10-15 minutes, cry to Allah. Earnest dua, sincere dua. Make dua for ourselves. Make dua for our children. Make dua for the entire ummah. May Allah grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.